It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as you might tell from just the momentary delay, America's favorite soccer dad is on the road again, remoting in. Both kids playing today, Adam?
Yeah, I'm down in sunny St. Augustine, and the other child is playing up in Jacksonville. So, ironically, they're playing the same teams, just one's home and one's away.
Okay, very interesting. Anyway, we are here together for the hour anyway, whatever together means in the electronic sense of it, I guess. All you regulars, thanks for being here. You're the reason we get up every Saturday and do this. You know, if you happen to have stumbled on the show or got told about it or left your radio on or whatever happened and you're new here, try to listen to the whole thing because in the course of the hour, you're bound to learn something. Almost everybody does. And for those of you who have questions, financial of any sort, don't hesitate to call. Lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the rules of the show for these 7.5 years we've been doing it are that callers have priority. So if you call in, we'll get you up there just as fast as humanly possible. Other than that, we'll talk about the various and sundry things that we like to talk about. And once in a while, we'll talk about something we don't like to talk about. And that's what Adam is about to do because this week in the market was an absolute mess, brought to you by yet another in a long string of absolutely clueless Fed chairmen, in my opinion. But I'll let Adam comment on that. It was not fun, so sit down. We'll go through it as fast as possible, and I'm going to ask him to give some opinions on where we go because there is something that I know Adam's going to bring up today that's going to be sort of a question mark going into Monday, I guess. Did I set it up okay?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. This week was really brought to you by Jerome Powell. The Fed came out swinging again this week on inflation, and basically the tone of his speech was, we are going to cause a recession and we're happy about it. And I think that is one of the most irresponsible types of sentiment I've ever heard out of the Fed. It's absolutely ridiculous. He is determined to crush inflation and also the stock market, and that is not what the dual mandate is supposed to be about. It's full employment and low inflation, and his current tack makes no sense whatsoever to me. He raised rates another 75 basis points. Everyone knew it was coming, but the problem was he then signaled that they're going to continue these hikes, and this is really what got him in trouble in the first place. It was just the opposite of this. It was signaling that there would be no hikes until next year. This trying to forecast into the future, just stop doing it.
It's like forecasting weather for next year. It's completely unreliable.
Assess the situation when we get there. I mean, if you really look right now, just about everything that contributes to inflation is on the way down. It's pretty clear. Asking rents are falling, commodities prices are falling, the price of oil and gas is already down, prices paid for durable goods are falling, the median home price has fallen, the food price index has fallen every month since May of this year. So why am I seeing this but the Fed is not? Like, I'm not that smart. They're supposed to be super smart. This doesn't make any sense. You're crashing the market on purpose with no gain and no end in sight. It makes no sense. It just really ticks me off, if you can't tell.
I've got an ism, a Steve-ism, for almost every occasion. And this week, it reminded me of one of my favorites. In Washington, D.C., you're known for the jobs you've had, not the job you've done. And that's what got him where he is. And that's what got Janet Yellen where she is. And she's a contributor to this whole nonsense, too. They can't stand prosperity.
Yeah, she's an idiot too. So there's no clear answer to this situation. I think the most likely scenario now is that they're going to continue to hike rates, and then they're going to have to do an emergency cut because they kill the economy so bad. I mean, what a disaster of their own making. Just unbelievable, really.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that they followed through. They almost had to do this one because he was dumb enough to say they were going to. But then when they followed through by, as you said a few minutes ago, by virtually guaranteeing us that they're going to throw us into recession, when I think they've already done that.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So now they're just making it worse. They're throwing fuel on the fire. And I just don't understand. There doesn't seem to be any clear direction. It's much like the current presidency. There's just no plan in place for anything. It's reactionary and it's dumb.
And
anyway,
let's go into the part about the heavy buying into the close and where that's going.
Okay. So that was actually the next thing I was going to talk about. The only good news from this week is that as we had talked about, the S&P was going to test its June lows. And those would be the lows for the year. It would be the 52-week low. It is currently the point on the map that everyone needs to focus on. And we tested it on Friday, and it bounced. And what I mean by bounce is that as soon as it hit that level, buyers stepped in and the market started to rebound. So we saw a really nice bounce on Friday, and there was heavy buying into the close. That is a positive sign for next week. It is not a sure thing, but it is a positive sign. There could be a retest of those lows, but we might even get a little bounce off those lows and some buying next week. I don't know what's going to happen, but that left me feeling a little more encouraged than I would have been otherwise. And unfortunately, though, the Dow didn't fare as well. The Dow actually closed below its June lows. So for large cap stocks, that's not a great sign. It's not a death knell either, but it's just not as encouraging as what happened in the S&P 500 on Friday. So if we do break below that and close below that on Monday, I am probably going to look at another round of selling because the next stop on the S&P could be quite a bit lower from the June lows. So that everyone needs to really pay attention to what happens on Monday and early next week, and what happens there will kind of give you an indication of what's going to happen next.
And I am left with that overriding feeling that all of this is so unnecessary.
It absolutely is unnecessary.
A couple of minor tweaks in policy, like drill, baby, drill, open up a pipeline or two, and I think they're even going to shut Manchin out of his now, the way it looks. These things have got to stop before a big change comes, we'll put it that way. And there was some interesting news out of England with the new prime minister, who is acting very much like a Reagan conservative. And, of course, the usual gang of idiots seem to be very worried about that. So I'm at least having a couple of jollies out of listening to these people complain, because guess what she's doing? She's doing what she said she would. And nobody can seem to handle that anymore. All right, don't go anywhere. We've got to take a break, pay some bills. We'll come back and pick up on things more fun. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I do, as usual, have a trivia question, which I'll get to in just a minute. I had one more follow-up thought on the market. The listeners out there who have even a passing familiarity with economics, something as simple as the law of supply and demand, the idiots in D.C. are working on this like we have a demand problem. And you're hearing a term that I find just absolutely despicable. They're working on demand destruction. Not just lessening demand destruction, meaning they're intentionally trying to make Americans not buy things because we don't have any money or we don't have any jobs or whatever, which seems to me to be about 180 degrees wrong. Remember back to Reagan. what was Reaganomics really called? Supply side. We have a supply side problem. It's brought to you by such things as high oil prices and the supply chain problems, that sort of thing. And that is where the emphasis should be, because if we had the supply to meet the demand, the prices would fall back to where they were. Everything would cruise along normal. That's what Trump had going. He had supply and demand in balance. They have taken it out of balance with their abject stupidity. Again, our opinion, it's our show. And if you disagree, please call us and tell us why. Anyway.
There is some other good news out there.
Oh, well, please, we need some.
Yeah, if you're looking for some good news, yields are up everywhere. And why is that good news? Because CDs, treasuries, bonds, you can actually get some quote-unquote safe return these days. Just for example, this week I was able to buy 6 and 9 month CDs and 1 year treasuries that were all yielding over 4%. Now, that's not wow. I mean, that's not what is going to a good year in the stock market is going to bring you. But right now, if you have a choice between a 4% guaranteed yield and losing 22% in the S&P 500, what looks like a better deal? That's for low risk, having a 4% return is something that we have not seen in forever. So I'm pretty excited that if you even want to take a little risk and you go into the corporate bond market, you can go not too far out, 2-3 years, and you can find bonds paying more than 5%. Cool. A little more risky than treasuries or CDs, but I mean, it's definitely a silver lining in all of this.
Good. Well, we've got a couple of lines lit up, but before I take the first one, I want to make sure that they have a chance at the trivia question. Everyone has probably been following the news about the remote workers who are being asked nicely sometimes, not so nicely other times, to come back to the office. And one of the arguments, the remote employees say, 87% of them say that they are very productive working remotely. My question is, what percentage of employers agree with them? And it's just a whole percent. And I'm going to tell you it's lower than 87, but I won't tell you by how much. So you guys have responsibility for that. Good morning, Angel.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Well, I called you one other time like a month or two ago.
Okay.
And things were just starting to stink at that time.
Uh-huh.
Just for a quick background so people don't think I'm just chewing the fat. My grandfather was CIA, OSS in World War II, and his whole life he was CIA.
Okay.
And that was my father on the West Coast. So I grew up hearing all about finances. And his mother, my great-grandmother, was Woman of the Year in Phoenix. They had a lot of property out west. So I grew up with financial, and I want people to realize we have ups, we have downs. Don't panic. Remember, cash is king. You can't take advantage of good deals that are going to make you money if your cash is seeped out. And every time we drop a percentage, people need to remember there's only 100% to start with. So if we lose a percent a week, in 1 year, we've lost half the value of the stock market. So people need to keep a broad view and remember our market is the best in the world, but we're also like a big casino for all the billionaires in the world and the petrodollars that flow in and European royalty, you know, people that just, they buy 10% of their money in some stock, and when it's up 20-30%, they sell. We don't feel it, and they make millions, and it's just a fact of today. And the smaller people, we bear it on our back because everyone's like putting into their IRA for their retirement. So all these billions are sitting in the U.S. propping up the banks off the hardworking people, and then the millionaires, billionaires are throwing the dice, and we're all in the middle of a crapshoot.
Well, as Rumsfeld says, you go to war with the army you've got. We enter the stock market for the sole reason that over the long term, it produces great wealth. If you're in it for something short term, then you're in the wrong place. So we always caution people, if you don't have 5 years to let that money sit, then it should not touch the stock market. And I think that's the best advice possible.
Are you looking for a job? Because you mentioned at least five really good points in there, and I feel like you could come work for us. You really touched on some important topics.
Let me tell you, I'm your secret listener, and I don't want to scare people, but I'm also part of my bloodline is in show business. Jonathan Winters was like my great uncle.
Okay.
My grandmother was Hattie Winters' messenger. So I kind of grew up, my dad went to Hollywood High. So I have a real unique perspective about money and it comes, you know, big money, little money, how it comes and goes. But my real job, as the years filtered on, I'm 60 now, but I'm,
Yeah. Did we lose you?
Did we lose her? Oh, no. It was just getting interesting.
Yeah. Well, we don't.
Well, call back if you can hear us.
Yeah. Thanks for the call anyway. All right. Well, let's move on then. Greg. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Haven't called in a while.
No, I noticed that.
No. Yeah. Well, it's time to boost your ratings. It's near the end of the month.
Right, you in your spare time, what are you, something like a highway patrolman? End of the month, you got to work hard.
No. Yeah. Well, you know, that's funny you say that. I think that's actually pretty true in a lot of northern blue states. And the West Coast, that seems to be the case.
Yeah, but there's no quotas, right? But there's a certain amount of money we have to generate.
Right. No, I know. But so I didn't really listen to the opening monologue, so I'm not sure what you were talking about as far as your views on the market. But I can tell you that, looking at some portfolios that my wife is going to be inheriting soon. It's been pretty interesting ride since January 2022.
No kidding.
In her case, the portfolio is down almost I'm going to say roughly 187,000, which is about just a tad under 10% of the total amount.
Okay, that's pretty good.
This is what I've been told. But, you know, heck, you could buy an Airbnb for that amount of money. So anyways, my question is this. So it's about ready to, you know, everything is about ready to be distributed. And I don't even know if you guys are, you know, have any information about it, but there's a couple of other heirs involved, and they're talking about, you know, maybe doing a three-way split, a four-way split, and then, you know, there would be the issuing of or transferring of, in this case, it would, based on the DOD, it would be a loss. Some of them are thinking that maybe it's better just to liquidate and stop the bloodletting, because each of the beneficiaries has a different idea of what they're going to do with their portion of the disbursement. And then there's another talk, as I said, where you divide it in three, and then, you know, they distribute the losses equally among the three. The only problem or concern, you know, which is more of a tax issue, is these K-1s and what that might do. So trying to look at what would be the, you know, what would streamline it, but at the same time maybe stop the hemorrhaging. I get it that stock markets goes up and goes down, and over the long haul it would go up. But I'll wait and hold on and hear your answer after the break.
Okay, let me ask one question while you're there. What's the date of death?
April 10th.
Okay, so what you really have to be concerned with on your cost basis, all of you, is the value of all those assets on April 10th, because you're going to inherit the basis of all of that. Now, April was higher than it is now, but it wasn't, you know, it was starting to come back down. So depending on how much you've got, there's one thing. I'm not going to talk about this yet. After the break, I'm going to bring it in, and we're going to talk about personality before we talk about money. How's that one grab you? Everybody's different. All right, we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll pick up on this excellent discussion after. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are talking to Greg about basically some very fun things, inheriting money with some people involved. So let's get back to it. Thanks for waiting.
You bet.
First off, any go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was just looking at some numbers here. Uh-huh. And it looks like that roughly from the DOD to this week, the account lost about $120,000.
Okay. And there are three inheritors, you say?
Oh, there's actually four.
Four, okay.
Yes.
All right, we have an idea how that'll split up. But first off, we always predicate discussions of inheritance with the comment that it's the ultimate in good news, bad news, and that you lose someone, that's the bad news, but you gain something, and that's the good news. So we're
right.
Sorry for your loss and ecstatic for your gain. Now, another thing, personality-wise, there's an old saying, you'll see where this fits in, I think, that if you really want to see the worst come out in people, attend the reading of the will. And what that means is very important. It means when there are four people, you're not going to all see eye to eye on what should happen. That's why IRS has allowed us to do things like split accounts into however many shares they are. Now, we don't know if these are IRA accounts, tax-deferred, or brokerage. Do you know that?
Yes, they're all brokerage accounts.
Okay, so the losses are actual.
And yes.
That means if you bring them over and sell them, you would each realize about $30,000 in losses. But a lot of people might not want to sell. Others might want to sell all of it or half of it. That's a very, very personal decision when you're dealing with a significant amount of money. So I always recommend, Adam, I assume you agree with this, that the best thing you can do is treat each account as an individual investor, right?
100%. I think they need to divide it up into the shares, and then each person who inherits the money should make their own decision based on their financial situation about what's right for them. And I really strongly would recommend doing that.
Mm-hmm. I also strongly recommend you talk to somebody who can help you, but that's my self-serving pitch for the day.
Right. No. It is in a trust, and there'll be, there is some dividend income, mm-hmm. you know, over the year and prior to the DOD, the settlor had received some income that way,
right.
And also Social Security and maybe a little bit of interest on some CDs. Mm-hmm. So, but from from January 2022 till the DOD, there was probably I'm going to say roughly maybe $100,000 loss in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So
that will not involve any taxation, in that nothing was realized unless they sold things in the interim there.
Right. But what about the interest income? Does the loss in the stock offset the minimal gains in dividends and interest? And it you know how that works. It's minimal, but it's an income stream.
There's no offset between those two. The only offset, one of them, the IRS classifies things. One of them, income is things like interest and dividends, but the sales are called capital gains, and they're put on your Schedule D. So when you buy or sell assets, that profit or loss does go on your tax return, but there's only so much good you can do with that. The income is taxable, period, end of discussion, except for, of course, tax-free interest. The dividends will be taxable. Some of those might be up through April 10th, might be qualified dividends that are taxed at capital gains rates, and others might be just normal income. But the estate will have to file two things, a final tax return, which means all the transactions between the first of the year and April 10th, that belongs to the original account owner, and that account owner will file a tax return on that. And then there will be a final tax return that accounts for anything else that might be out there. But you need to retain a qualified accountant, if you haven't so far, who can do both of those things. And when both of those are satisfied, then, and I, will there be any estate tax? Do you?
No, because it's under the 11.
Under 11, okay. I knew it was quite a bit, and just to be sure. All right, that's good. Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. And it's really good that it happened now, too, because I think they might lower that down the line as an aside.
They're talking about, our wonderful president is talking about $1 million, changing it to a $1 million cap. I saw it this morning. I'm like, oh my God, what else?
That won't pass. It won't pass.
Yeah.
Just he fails to admit the most obvious thing in the world. And that's that the Democrat Party is the party of the wealthy, and they're not going to let him put up with that. They're not going to put up with him doing that. So don't worry about that part.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
I don't have much faith in that party anymore.
No, I hear you.
It certainly isn't the party of John F. Kennedy, that's for sure.
Yeah, yep. So when all of that is said and done, has anyone heard yet exactly what the shares are going to be, what one-fourth of the net is going to be?
It's roughly around 500K each.
Okay, then you should plan for that as individuals once you see what's actually there. If there are some of you who believe that they want to bail out right now because the market is headed down, then I would talk to the people who are handling the estate and make them do the splits right away and sell off any quarter that the future owner will want to sell eventually. I'd do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And again, I'm sorry, but I didn't hear your your monologue this morning about the market, and I've been following it, but I've also been busy with some other things. I know the last few weeks have been just brutal.
Yep.
Can you just summarize what you guys were talking about this morning?
Yeah, Adam, I think you can wrap this up pretty nicely, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. The what you want to look for in making these decisions, it's actually a perfect time to be looking at this. If we close early next week, if we close lower than the June low in the S&P 500, I personally would be looking at selling stock and getting into cash, because the next level of support in the market is quite a ways down from that low. And it just would be a very, very negative sign if that happened. But if we rebound on Monday and get a nice little bump after the terrible week we've had, or weeks, I should say, I might be inclined to just hold on for a little bit and see what happens. Because if that June low turns out to be the new low in the market, that would be a pretty bullish sign for the market. So it's really going to be dependent on what happens next week. But definitely, I would pay attention on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and see what happens.
And Adam, when you say you would generate some cash, what percentage are you talking about? Most people shouldn't liquidate all their stock holdings, because in a quick turn, you can't react fast enough.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know what's in the account to begin with.
Right.
So, and another strategy would just be to sell it all on Monday, take the losses, and then if the market starts going up, just buy back into something different. Like if you're in a bunch of individual stocks, then sell everything and buy half of it back in the S&P 500 and try and capture the gains that way, and also book those losses. So there's a couple of different ways you can go. And if you want to call me on Monday in the office, Greg, we can talk about it in more detail.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot. I think 82% is the number you're looking for.
Too high.
Okay.
But we appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks
for
the call. All right, Valerie, I've only got about 15 to 20 seconds, so if you can, would you hang on until after the break, and we'll pick you up right after that. We appreciate it. It's fun having all the callers, but I hate to tell people we won't be back with them, but the commercials will be short, and we will get to you immediately. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to remind people of the trivia question. 87% of remote employees say that they are productive. What percentage of their employers agree with them? And it's less than 82%. And now, good morning, Valerie, and thank you for your patience.
Sure thing. Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
I have a question. Well, I have a couple of questions at the time, but I'll start with the hopefully easy one. I retired about 6 months ago and had a deferred compensation account. Mm-hmm. And as I am quite risk averse, it's just in the basic savings thing, getting the lowest thing. I know you guys all fall hearing that, but I guess that's at risk.
Personality.
I was wondering, I've heard Adam talk about the CDs earlier, and I was wondering if I would be able to roll that out of that account into CDs without taking a tax hit.
It's a 457 type plan?
It's in, that I'm not sure.
Who was the employer?
State of Florida.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see any problem getting that rolled out of there if you're retired. And yes, you could then put it into a brokerage account.
So it would have to be through a brokerage account, not a regular bank or credit union.
Well, you could probably do that. I don't know. Well, I'm sure you could. If you look for somebody with a good rate. If you're going to keep it in that type of environment, then, I would think you could do that rather easily.
So I would just, in order to avoid tax implication, I would just have to keep rolling it over until a point where I'd actually want to use the money. Is that correct?
Yeah, because it is going to be taxable because it was deferred from you pre-tax, and you will have to put it into a rollover IRA or something like that where you could keep buying these things until the U.S. government forces you to start taking withdrawals from it.
Okay. Yeah, you may not know this, Valerie, but if you have an IRA through a custodian like TD Ameritrade, you can actually buy CDs in that IRA. So you think about IRAs as stocks and bonds, but you can buy treasuries, you can buy CDs inside the IRA. So you wouldn't. Even if it rolled out and you held it for 6 months and it went back into your account as cash, you can then just buy another CD with that cash, and that is not a taxable event until you pull the money out of the IRA.
Okay, I don't have an IRA. My husband and I, we'll have three pensions. I mean, no, we're really the old people, but we'd have two state pensions and a city pension.
That's great.
Nothing wrong with that.
You're lucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
You are getting your money.
Except you now have to worry about too much income because getting hit with Irma and all that other stuff. Because
sure.
You thought you're doing well, and now you're like it's getting taken away.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, those are the better problems to have, though.
Okay.
Yeah, 457 money and the deferred comp plans, that money's at risk. Just like your pension is. So it's really comforting when you say, well, it's through a taxing authority because your risk just got pretty much taken down to nothing.
Okay, I'm not sure I understood that.
If you had the same plan with a private employer, we'd tell you to get it out of there as fast as you can because if they were to have a financial problem, you lose that money. It's at risk to you. But okay, that's not going to happen with the state of Florida. And you should be very, very happy that you basically have, you got it made, and you can exercise more control without adding more risk to your financial life. That's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. If you want to open up a Schwab account or TD account or something like that, just call them and tell them what you want to do, and they'll walk you right through it online. Very simple.
Okay.
Did you want to take a quick shot at the trivia question while I've got you?
I'd say it was more like 30%, but
I'm going to tell you something. You're still too high.
Okay. I was trying to be generous.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, these numbers are brought to you by Microsoft. So I tend to think they're reasonably trustworthy. And it's very, very fresh numbers, too. So,
okay.
Now, if anybody wants to sneak in a call, you can do it. Thank you. If you have any questions, you can call us at the office, too, at Van Wee Financial, 685-1505. We'll help you.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for the call. Good problems out there today, don't you think, Adam?
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting to hear some of the things that people say about their own retirement accounts. Like, I know I'm being too conservative, or things like that. But really, there is no such thing. If you can't live with the level of risk, then being too conservative is the right way for you to invest. Now, a financial planner is going to look at that and say, "Oh man, you missed out on all this." But if you couldn't sleep at night having stocks or bonds in your account, then you probably did it the right way for you.
Yeah, that's kind of a parallel question to people say, should I pay off my mortgage? And we'd ask you right away, well, what's your rate? And if the rate was low, we'd say, well, you can probably do better investing. But if you're in that 5 to 10% of people who absolutely can't sleep till it's paid off, the question becomes a little different. It is, how fast can you pay it off? Because you want to be able to sleep.
There's always the right answer on paper and then the actual right answer, and those can differ.
Yep, you're right. All right, we got a couple more phone calls. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great, how are you?
I know you guys are short on time. I'm just going to give you a number here, 18%.
18?
Yes.
Too high. Getting ridiculous, isn't it?
Good Lord.
Yep.
We don't have many confident, no. I wouldn't say competent, in believing employers out there.
Yeah.
I tend to kind of believe with them, though.
Yeah, I've been kind of drifting that direction myself over the last year or so. You're going to see a lot more people back to work soon.
That's true. Okay, I'll let you go.
Thanks.
Somebody else can
call
sir. In here.
We appreciate it. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, fellas. I work for a large military organization that's both in Jacksonville, been working there for years, and I worked from home since March 20.
Yep.
And we do a daily report. It's onerous. It takes another 40 minutes. So they're paying us to report what we do every day. And I think a lot of people have trouble with that. They don't know what to give their superiors, commanders. We don't call them superiors, the senior, the leadership. They don't know what to give them. And the leadership is nervous they can't report to the final leadership in the organization here locally and up chain. They can't report to them what's happening. Now, if you have a results-based job where you see results, I actually chase grants to protect our installations. And my grants show. They show up. You know, my ROI is about 400%.
Great.
So nobody ever asks me anything. I tell them everything. They see it, and I do it. But I think what's happening is people aren't reporting. And if you don't know what your folks are doing and you're a manager, that's going to make you nervous.
Yeah, I don't blame anybody for being nervous. Yeah.
And if it's a training organization, I'm your age, almost, real close. And I've been doing this a long time, and there's nobody in my organization that knows more about it than I do. So I don't get questioned, and I don't need training.
Good.
I need to advance, but I do that outside the fence line. Mm-hmm. So if you need to train people and they don't have the culture and they don't know the operating procedures, they need to be in with a senior guy to help them.
I think you just hit that right square on the head.
They're just going to need, they're going to miss him.
Today's culture with the young workers is not a good one.
Copy that. That's correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Did you want to take a shot at the trivia?
Yeah, I'll say 8%.
All right. That one is a little low. So now we have a bracket.
Well, close. We're bracket. You got a bracket for the next guy.
Bracket folks love that, right? Close enough for a hand grenade at this point.
Good show. Thanks.
Thanks so much. We appreciate the call.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. I don't see anything else coming in, and we got to get out of here. According to Microsoft, in their brand new survey, 87% of the workers believe they're productive. A mere 12% of their bosses also believe that they're productive. So I think you're going to start seeing increasing pressure, and I think Dave has a pretty good handle on one of the reasons that's going to be that way. And we just got to get more out of people, because you just can't hire off the streets to get anything done. Productivity has fallen dramatically over the last several months. It needs to be pumped up for the sake of all of us. Maybe that'll help the supply side that we were complaining about before. I really appreciate everybody calling in today. We had a good time. Hope you did. We'll see you next week at the same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.